Welcome to episode 286 of the Family Podcast Network. Today on this episode of Media Sucks Monday, we're going to talk about 10 compliments that your kids need to be hearing. We're also going to talk about how schools are becoming wimps when it comes to kids, as well as, we're going to go over an article today that talks about kids speaking about how spanking feels to them. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is February the 17th, 2014. Our topic for today is going to be another Media Sucks Monday. That's right. We're going to go over some serious topics today, including 10 compliments that your kids need to be hearing regularly from you, as well as what are some kids or what are some schools are actually doing with their kiddos in terms of not wanting to give their kids zeros. Yeah, you hear that. They didn't want to give them zeros on their tests. Last, we're also going to talk a little bit about that. We've kind of got into several conversation and debates this week with some folks at FPN that listen to the show, as well as even some personal friends of mine, some close friends that we have. We've gotten into some discussions and debates about spanking, should kids be spanked, etc. So we're going to talk a little bit. This article today isn't really going to be about swaying you from whether or not, you know, here at the Family Podcast, we believe that spanking works. However, we believe that there are better ways to do it than spanking, that there's just more effective ways to do it that sometimes take more effort, but they create better results in the end. So we don't hate on spanking. We just think that it's not the best choice that there is out there. So we're going to talk a little bit of that. We're going to leave that perspective. We're just going to talk about what do kids see it as and how valuable that can be in changing it. So anyway, we'll go over that here in just a little bit. Before we do that, let's jump into our quick housekeeping. Guys, if you want to stay notified of all the new episodes that comes out here on the Family Podcast Network, simple, easy way to do that, go to thefamilypodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, enter your name and your email address in. Whenever you do that, you get signed up for a very special email newsletter. Not a newsletter, guys. It's just it's a very short email that just says, hey, there's a new show out. Here's what it's about. That's all you get. However, it does that. I don't want to overload you guys. I'm not trying to sell you guys anything on it. I just want to make sure that you don't miss out on that one episode. If you just would have heard it this week, it could have changed everything. Jump on over there, sign up for that. Guys, also, don't forget, you can become a PTACer. That's Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just our little funny spin on how can you become a member of the show. We pay the bills at this show solely because of you guys in the audience. And we do that, and we expand, and we grow, and all those different things. And we offer this podcast out for free. It always will be. But we pay those bills that we do have here through you guys only. And you guys are what keep me afloat and going. So we always appreciate your support. So if you've been sitting there thinking, man, I really love what Trey's doing. We have been just listening for so long, and we really feel like we want to, you know, we want to be a part of the Family Podcast Network and help them see this go further, you know, better and grow stronger. We really appreciate that. Consider becoming a PTACer. Jump on over to the Family Podcast. Click on Become a Member or click on the PTACer tab. And sign up for that. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, something you want to hear on the show, a question you want to ask about or an article, you can email articles and things like that to me at TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Guys, you can always call us over at the right-hand side of the Family Podcast. You see a little green bar that says Ask Trey and Jeff a Question. That is the information call-in line. If you want to use your computer, if you have a microphone or a headset or something like that connected to that, or if you're using your phone and you're doing it through the website on like Safari or some other kind of program, Opera or something like that on your phone, you can also click on that. And if you see that button, you click on it, you can record right over that. Leave your message, leave your question first, then give me your details second. We'll see about getting your question answered. But say, Trey, I'm not around a computer. No problem. Give us a call on your phone, 661-PARENT-0. You will not hear me answer the phone and say, hey, you're on the line with Trey. You're going to get a voicemail recording that's going to allow you to leave your voicemail question. Ask whatever you want to ask. Again, question first, then give your details. We'll see about getting it on the show. So email your articles, guys. What do you want to hear about? What do you want to talk about? Guys, you've also been sending me a lot of folks you want to see about getting on the show. We're trying, and we do want you to know that it looks like hopefully this week that we're talking right now that you're listening to this, hopefully we're going to have a few people coming on. Number one, you guys reached out and said, we want Teacher Tom to come on, and I agree. Teacher Tom has been kind of a long-term guy that I've watched and listened to. We're hopefully going to get him on the show. He said he should be able to work something out this week, so we'll see if we can get him on for an interview. We also reached out to Rachel Stafford over at the Hands Free Mom Revolution, I believe, and she's been writing wonderful articles. We've featured three or four, maybe five of them here at the Family Podcast, but her publicist touched back with me and said, hey, yeah, we'll see if we can get her on there. So hopefully we're going to have that. Also, one of you guys recommended that we get on Glennon from the HuffPo. She wrote several articles, including one about being a stay-at-home mom. Yes, we've reached out to her on four separate occasions now. I cannot get anybody to touch back with me, but I don't care. I'm going to keep bugging them until somebody finally says, quit emailing me, at least, because that article she wrote was fantastic. So anyway, guys, we're going to have some pretty amazing interviews coming up here pretty quick, hopefully, and be ready to stay tuned for those. All right, guys, let's see. Anything else you need to go over? I don't think so. Guys, don't forget you can always listen on your computer, or you can also listen to us on Stitcher and iTunes. If you're over in iTunes, don't forget to leave us, drop a line and leave us some feedback. And whenever you rate us, it helps bump us up in the lists. All right, with all of the housekeeping out of the way for today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is, once again, another edition of the Media Sucks Monday. Yeah. The media sucks! The media sucks! That's right. Media Sucks Monday is the day where we cover your articles that you guys send to me. And while we often talk about how the media sucks, and I do believe that mainstream media is more like the lamestream media, there is some articles that we love to pull in. Sometimes talking about wrong stuff is a great way for us to kind of start out. But then there's also some people out there that are writing wonderful articles. We're going to go through those today. And we're going to begin first on a wonderful article that was sent to me by Ashley. And it comes from www.imom.com. It is an article called 10 compliments that your kids need to hear. We have a tendency to compliment our kids about the little things that they do. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in complimenting our kids for the little things they do, and that is wonderful. However, sometimes I think we need to be looking at and noticing and recognizing some of the things that go a little bit beyond just their actions. We need to be hitting those core fundamental things that go as well. And I think sometimes we forget to compliment these things because we're so busy complimenting on the good job that they did tying their shoes or the good job they did on arriving back before curfew that sometimes we forget to compliment those things that are character developing. And this article does a really, really good job here. They say, number one, you need to compliment their character. We live in a world where their integrity is neither consistently taught nor widely expected. When our children demonstrate honesty, kindness, trustworthiness, and reliability, that is a great time to take it aside and to offer a sincere compliment. I think this is such a good recommendation. You know, the reality is we're not just teaching kids to do what we want them to do. We talk a lot here that we don't teach our kids in our household at the Casa de Gibson. We don't teach our kids to be obedient. We do not want obedient children in this household. My goodness, Trey, why would you say that? I know for some of you new listeners, you're like, holy smokes. The reason we say that is that obedient children have a tendency to defer to the authority that's around them, the thing that they perceive as being in charge. And this is going to sound dramatic, guys, but I'm telling you, as dramatic as it may sound, there is still a reality, a fundamental truth, a truism to it. And it's the same mentality that was fostered in kids in Nazi Germany. They were taught that the way to respect your parents and your authority and do the honor to the people was to do whatever authority said to do. And it led to men and women who would never have done certain things that said, we just did it because we were supposed to. They were taught, they were trained. So developing character in our kids is one of the biggest things. So we don't teach to do that. We don't do it in our house. We don't teach them to be obedient. We teach our kids to be kind, to be thoughtful, to be respectful of each other, including mom and dad. And we teach that rather than this mentality of obey me because I said. And this is one of the biggest things that we do it for. We want our kids to establish character. The definition of character in terms of the nature we're using it here in this podcast is defined as the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So what are the qualities that a person has in terms of their thinking, in terms of their basic belief systems about what is right and wrong that helps set apart an individual? We know that a person makes these kinds of choices because this is the kind of person that they are. And that's what this number one is talking about, was when we notice them do things that are a piece of who they are, their disposition as a person, we need to be noticing that. When do they do things and they show themselves? You know, one of the things that we've really been working on is trying to, instead of, we're trying to create our kids to be in a position to where they do not mind being honest with us. And when somebody breaks something or somebody does something, they come to us and they tell us, "Mom, Dad, I broke the this. I dropped the that. I spilt yogurt all over the car," which just happened this week. No, we're not talking the inside of the car. We're talking like a complete coating on the outside of my Honda Pilot. But they came to us and they were honest with us about that. Why are they honest with us about that? Because we compliment their character. That was really impressive how you were so honest about that. I really appreciate the fact that you didn't try to hide it, that you didn't try to sneak anything past us, that you just came and said, "Hey, I did it." The other day, something had happened in the house. I don't remember what it was, but I looked at Grant and I said, "Grant, did you do this?" And Anna kind of very sheepishly said, "No, Dad, that was me." And at that moment, I think she could have gotten away with it, and I think she knew it. But she said, "No, Dad, that was me. It wasn't Grant's fault." Compliment their character. Those things that set them apart, those things that help make them distinctive in terms of being an individual, whether it's the way they think or it's the way they choose right or wrong. Compliment those things when you see them because they're more likely to happen again. Number two, compliment. So listen to this. Listen to this. I had to bring this one up, guys, because this came into it. Compliment, obedience, and respect. This is one of the ones that I don't want to say that I vehemently disagreed with it, but I definitely disagreed with a part of it. So let's break this down into two different things right here. Compliment, obedience. But listen to the explanation. You'll see where she's going with this. That it's too easy to fall into patterns of disapproval, where the only time we notice is when our kids do wrong, right? It's a big problem that we talk about here at Family Podcast. Rather than waiting for disobedience or disrespect, then coming down like a ton of bricks, try noticing obedience and respect. "I don't always remember to tell you, but you are an awesome young man, and I appreciate the way you treat me." Right? So the mentality they're talking about here isn't necessarily about complimenting obedience as it is complimenting them when they do the right thing, when they make the right choice. I would link that back up in here. I would say that this author who wrote this, it has a little bit of a confusion between the ideas of character and obedience. Because character is intrinsically motivated, and I would go as far to say that obedience is extrinsically motivated. It's motivated by the things that happen around us and outside of us, while character is something that gets motivated from within. And so what I would say is they really probably don't actually mean obedience here. What they're talking about is compliment when they choose the right moral choice. And they choose to be respectful of other people. That's a major thing that we talk about here in our household. We are very big on mutual respect. We even have that level of mentality and approach to even our little tiniest. Charlotte is our one-year-old, and we require her to show the same level of respect. If she comes up and whacks another kid in the face, we don't just go, "Oh, baby." I mean, don't get me wrong, we don't drop the hammer of God. You know, Thor's hammer doesn't come on her head or anything like that. But we don't let her do that. If she walks up and yanks a toy out of there, we do not tell the other kids that they must share that toy. We teach respect in this household, mutual respect, even property rights. And respecting property of each other. If somebody has a toy and the other one comes up and wants it, or if one kid is playing with someone else's toy and that person comes and says, "I want that back," we require them to have that respect. Now, we may teach them to go back into that, compliment their character. We may go back and say, "Hey, what would you want to do if it was you who had found this toy?" And we may push them to make those moral decisions, but we do not make them. We do not force them. We don't even promise them like rewards and candy or something like that if they do. Number three, compliment them for simply being a part of the family. "Every time I see you, I'm thankful that I am your mom. Kids need to understand that they are valued simply because they are. This one is good." See, there's two different kinds of praise. There's praise for doing. The idea of praise for doing is that the things that they do earn praise from us. It's a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. When our kids do well, those first time they tie their shoes, it's great to compliment them. The first time that they're honest when they didn't have to be is a great thing to do. It is wonderful to praise our kids for doing. However, we have a tendency to get stuck in only praising for the doing. Now, I'm not harshing on you for that. That's great. Keep that up. But there's another kind of praise that we often forget. And it's praise for simply being. It is praise that they did not have to earn. It is not praise that they had to do anything to get. They are just praised because they are a part of who they are. "I'm so thankful that I am your mom." Now, one could argue that this isn't necessarily a compliment, but I guess it is. I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it. But I use this one heavily in the household. I love to pull my kids in and to say, "I am so glad you're my daughter. I think it is so fantastic that you're my son. I tell them that regularly. Guys, this is one of those things that I'm not just saying that because I think it's a good idea and I try to do it when I remember it. I'm talking like I try to do it 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 times a week. I'm trying to say these things to them. I mean, I want on a daily basis, if at all possible, I want my kids to hear that I'm just glad for who they are. They don't have to earn daddy's love. They don't have to do things for me to be okay with them. They don't have to do the right thing even for me to respect them. I just love them. Now, when I say that, am I saying that, like, if they did the wrong thing, that I'm not going to have a consequence for them? Oh, heck no. There's going to be consequences for poor, you know, poor decisions. I'm going to let them deal with those consequences, and I'm probably not going to bail them out. But that doesn't mean that they will ever lose my love, and kids need to know that. And parents often struggle to do that. Why do parents often struggle with this? Because I think the majority of parents, good parents out there that really do love their kids, in many cases, have a tendency to only love them when they're doing exactly what they want. I mean, I probably just offended a lot of people. But I seriously want you to take a look at that. If you're struggling with being able to compliment and love your kid for who they are and being thankful that you're their mom, even in the midst of them doing the wrong thing, then it is very highly likely that your love is conditional. You have to do these things to earn my approval. Not saying that you approve of the thing that they did. It is very possible to disapprove of what somebody does, but still love them and accept them, and even still be able to respect them, even in the midst of the wrong thing that they're doing, or at least what we perceive is to be wrong. It's very, very possible. But don't forget to praise your kid for just being who they are. It is a very freeing experience, and kids love it. Number four, compliment contributions to the family. Clearing the table, sweeping the porch, putting out the trash makes a real difference. I appreciate your contribution. Kids need to understand that what they do makes a difference and that adults notice and that pitching is a good part of the family. I get this question a lot from individuals in the show audience that ask me, say, Trey, my kid, you know, should I pay my kid for making his bed and taking the trash out and those kinds of things? And every time I get asked those questions, I always answer it the same way. I always tell them it depends. I always tell them that it kind of depends on that. Now, I mean, there are a lot of, I'll tell you what we do as a family, but I always tell people in these situations, you got to make decisions about that and what you think. In our household, here's how we do it. There are certain things that are just a part of contributing to the household. There are certain things that are personal responsibilities that we have because we have a household, because we have clothes, because we have toys that we like to play with, because we all have to share this one house, and it's not just one of ours, or just the kids, or just mom and dad's. We all have to share. So as such, we each have to contribute to this household. So we have in our household what we call our daily chores. And our daily chores are things that we do just because it is our responsibility. Daddy washes the dishes. I don't ever get paid for that. Mama picks up the house, or Mama especially washes clothes and folds and irons. She doesn't get paid for that. So we have certain things that the kids are required to do. That is often things like picking clothes up off the floor, putting shoes away in shoe baskets and whatnot, picking all the trash up off the floor. We basically give them those lower level type stuff, you know, physically lower level stuff that they can reach. We have them do stuff like that and help us keep the household straightened up and clean. And it is a household chore for them. No, we do not pay them for that. It's just a piece of them getting to live here. Every so often, we will sometimes leverage things like iPads and Kindles. If they decide that it is just flat out not worth it to be a part of contributing to the household, and they're going to push and fight vehemently, they do lose their cool stuff. That might be like they don't get to play Wii or Xbox 360 or whatever else that's going on. I mean, those are things that we do not have to provide kids. And if you are not going to contribute, you don't get to experience the joys of the house because you're not contributing to helping keeping it clean and together. We do also have stuff that moves beyond that. We have extra jobs. Great story that just happened this weekend. Over the last week, my wife has been very sick. And she's been slowly getting healed up, and so my daughter was wanting to help. Well, my wife has been having a plan to reorganize and clean out our herb pantry, right? So we just have this giant cabinet filled full of different herbs and spices and whatnot, and it's kind of gotten disheveled and discombobulated. So my wife was going to organize it. Well, my daughter Anna says, "Well, I'd like to help," and so she helped my wife. We're talking hard freaking working. Worked like any other adult I've ever seen work and helped her clean that out and reorganize and make a nice list of everything we had. And it was wonderful. And she got paid. We literally paid her almost half of minimum wage for that because she worked like I've seen adults work. And mind you, my daughter's 7. And so we paid her that. She had $4. Well, the other kids just kind of decided they really didn't want to work. Grant wanted to go play Halo, and my daughter wanted to sit on an iPad. So, okay, that's fine. We didn't fuss at them for that. It wasn't their chore time or anything like that. So anyway, over the weekend, I went to go make a trade for some fun Boom Boom Sticks over the weekend, and I met with a guy, and we did a trade. And so while we were there, we went into a convenience store, and we stepped inside, and Anna said, "Dad, I want a blah, blah, blah." And Grant was like, "Oh, yeah." And then Cora was like, "Oh, yeah, me too." And everybody all of a sudden wanted a soda and a Snickers bar, right? So my first words out of my mouth were, "Did you bring your money with you?" Well, guess what? Grant and Cora, neither one, had decided they wanted to work this last week. So they had $0 and 0 cents, but guess what? My daughter had $4. And she went out, and she bought a king-size thing of M&M's. And let me tell you, she was the envy of the trip home. And let me tell you, from that point on, my kids were hyper-motivated, just want to start working. And we told them, I said, "Guys, you cannot get jobs. You cannot get working jobs until you get your chores done." So already chores are becoming more interesting because they want to get past that so they can make their money. So the next time we go to a convenience store, they can get the things that they want. You see, we're really trying to push that our kids get to a point where they understand that you have to, if you want to, you work hard to play hard. If you want to play hard, if you want to have fun and do fun things, you got to work for those things. So anyway, compliment contributions to the family, I think, is good. When you see them cleaning up stuff and straightening stuff, when you notice them picking things up or grabbing a handful of clothes, when you see them putting their toys back where they need to go, make sure that you notice those things and that you compliment them for it. Do not take for granted that just because it is their responsibility that they should just do it and not receive any kind of notice for it. Nobody that I know doesn't feel good when they get acknowledged for doing the right thing. So make sure to take the time, notice your kids, give them a compliment whenever you see them being a part of the family and contributing, and help them connect that. Help them see that connection between whenever you help pick up, you're actually being a part of this family. It's a very, very, very good thing. Number five, compliment the quality of their work. This is a good one. This is a good one. That means if they do not do a good job, I mean, don't give them as much, but when they do a really good job, notice it. So whenever they're clearing the table, sweeping the porch, putting out the trash. Oh, sorry, I was reading the wrong one. So compliment the quality of their work. "This is one clean porch, mister. You mowed that lawn right up to the edge. Fantastic. I'm so glad you take this seriously. It's really showing." Doing a job at a high standard is always worth doing. So guys, I recommend that when you see your kids not just doing a good job, but doing a really good job, compliment them on that. Why do we want to do that? Because that is the kind of behaviors that gets them hired. It is the kind of behavior that helps them advance. It is the kind of behavior that helps them become more successful than everybody else that only wants to give a crappy job or a decent job. It is what will get them separated out from those people that just want to hold on to a job versus those people that want to excel in their job. We want to create people that want to excel. So notice the quality that they do. If your kid comes and they've done a lousy job, don't tell them they did amazing. Tell them they did well. You did okay. I definitely need you to work on these areas, but you did do a good job with this. Notice those things, but make sure that you compliment how well they do. When you see exceptionalism from their work, compliment them for them. Now, I know some of you guys out there are like, "Trey, you don't know my team, man. They don't do anything to the fullest. They always half-butt it, and they always do a crappy job." Sometimes, I admit, you got to start somewhere. Look for the things that they get right. Look for the things that they do really well. Find those things and compliment the junk out of that. Now, number six here is more for you folks that would say, "Well, Trey, you just don't understand. My kid doesn't ever try. They don't ever do a good job. They never, ever. You know, you just don't know my teenager, man. They're just always doing the half effort. No, it drives me nuts." This number six is for you guys. Compliment the effort even when the result is not the best. Now, I want to be careful with this. I'm not saying that you lavish praise on them as though they just did the most amazing and awesome thing ever when they didn't do a very good job. But it is okay to see when a kid is putting effort into something, even if they're not doing it exactly the way we think it should be done, to compliment the fact that you are working on it. The author goes on to write, "Your willingness to help me makes me happy. Now we need to take a look at how you can get the trash to the curb without leaving a trail. Compliments can be an important part of our role as teachers." That's right. I like this. This isn't bad. You do have to be careful with this. Again, this isn't about, you know, this. Remember, self-esteem movement was a pretty big flipping lie. Kids need to know when they screw up, and they need to be allowed to screw up, and they need to be told and corrected when they screw up. They need to be disciplined, right? That's the idea of correction. We want to correct them, and we're trying to lead them back to the right path, not making them feel shameful for being in the wrong one, okay? But sometimes our kids aren't doing a very good job, and sometimes we just have to notice the fact that they're doing something, that they could be fussing, Maybe they went out and did a pretty junky job because they're little kiddos or something like that. But they didn't fuss about it. They didn't scream and cry and throw a big temper tantrum because they had to do it. Notice those kinds of things. Number 7, compliment when they are achieving something new. Wow, that is a huge leap forward for you there in math. Very good. Awesome. I'm not surprised at all that you work so hard. A well-placed compliment can keep a positive ball rolling, right? When you notice them doing something big, when they tie their shoe for the first time, make sure that you know, make sure that they notice that you just did a really, really good job. Whenever you've seen them fail and fail and fail, and they're really not putting a whole lot of effort in, but that first time they really try hard. Notice it. Notice it when kids do something that's new and something that's incredible. We have a tendency to get so bogged down on that kind of thing. But, man, pay attention. Pay attention when they do something they've never done before. I'm actually going to skip a couple of these just for time's sake. And also the fact that maybe they're a smidge redundant in what they're trying to say. But I do want to jump down to number 10, compliment their friends. We have a tendency as parents, when it comes to the people that we want our kids to associate with, to be a bit of elitists. We want them to hang out with kids that act like perfect little angels, just like we expect our kids to act like. And so we have a tendency, don't get me wrong, there are some of the friends that they're going to pick that drive us bonkers. We have them, and I get it. But be ready to compliment their friends. Look for the good things in their friends. Remember, they connect with their friends because they have a special place in their heart. Even the little rotten friends sometimes have a special place in their heart. And we can't have any influence over our kids if we're shutting them down, calling their friends dumb, stupid, idiots, whatever else. And we can't have any influence over the kids, their friends, if we're calling them dumb, stupid, idiot, or whatever else. So remember to compliment their friends. Notice the good things that they do. And that doesn't mean you want to, I mean, make sure that it's honest. Make sure that you know, that it's not, you know, saying something that's a lie about them. But notice those good things and communicate those to them. Great article. And thanks again for sending this over to us. The next one we've got, guys, is schools are wimps when it comes to giving kids failing grades. It's a true story. I am all for calling our, by the way, guys, this was written over at thestir.cafemom.com, and it was shot over to me by Victoria, or Vicky. And it says, I am all for coddling our little kids a bit. I mean, who wants their preteen to know all about the horrors this world has to offer? There should be some innocence and some wonder if the internet hasn't already killed it. But some people take the overprotecting thing a bit too far. No disagreement from Trey. A middle school in Lake County, Florida has banned teachers from giving out grade 0 because it is, and I quote, guys, overly negative to the student. They don't want the kids feeling bad about it. But shouldn't they? Now, it's been a few decades since I was in junior high, but if memory serves me correctly, a kid scoring a 0 on assignment means he didn't even try. If that's the case, shouldn't they know and understand they did a bad job and that they need to try harder next time? Not giving him or her a 0 accomplishes one thing. It teaches them that there are no consequences, or at least that not ones that they need to worry about. One of the biggest lessons we can teach our kids is about hard work and school. It's the only way they can carve out a future for themselves. In the defense of the school, a rep for the school did say there's definitely consequences. More importantly, it teaches kids that we want them to succeed. We want them to do well. Not buying it. You teach a kid that they want them to succeed by giving them the tools just to do that. Letting them off easy is not a lesson that will help. Yes, we should worry about their feelings, but not for this. How does sparing them a grade 0 whenever they deserve it prepare them for the real world? That's not to say we can't cut them some slack in other areas. They don't always have to be the fastest runner or always score a touchdown. At least I don't think so. But they should always, always, always feel like they have to work hard in school. A 0 is a clear proof that they didn't. Yeah, no, it's a great article. Thanks for sending this over, Vicky. And I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, the mentality, you know, we talk here a lot about teacup kids. And these kids that are just so unprepared for life that they cannot deal with it. And this is a large part what we're dealing with here. A lot of the kids, again, remember we talk about self-esteem movement said kids need to feel the absolute best about themselves that they can. So we do that by constantly reinforcing them, making them feel better, giving them compliments, etc. Is there anything wrong with compliments or any of that kind of jazz? Not at all. Compliments are wonderful. However, you combine that with American hedonism, which says that pleasure is the ultimate good and the ultimate thing to be focused on, and pain is the ultimate thing to be avoided. Then what happens is you get kids that are only getting complimented and they're never being allowed to screw up. This is a problem. And so what happens is that this is just riding the back end of that wave. Well, we don't want kids to fail, because if they feel like they're doing horrible, if they get an epic fail, if they're getting a giant 0 on this test, they're going to feel so bad they're not going to try. Very, very, very much disagreed. Kids feel some of the most equipped, some of the most prepared for life when they are allowed to experience a strong difficulty that they overcome. So the idea of not giving a kid a zero because they want them to feel better is not actually conducive to what really happens. The school was quoted as saying, most importantly, it teaches kids that we want them to succeed. Maybe. Maybe that's what they really want here. But I would say, no, they do not. If you want a kid to succeed, they need to fall on their butt. Getting a zero on a page can be a big deal. Now, don't get me wrong. You can hand out zeros inappropriately. You can hand out zeros in incorrect ways or manipulative ways. I mean, I agree with all of that. But you don't ban a zero. Kids need to allow to crash and burn, to fall on their butt, to hurt, to experience the consequence, to experience the continual consequence. If you continue to turn in zeros, you're going to have a new set of classmates next year. They need that. But again, in most cases, things like this, decisions like this, aren't because the school board people are sitting back there going, we will make them dumb. I mean, it's not an issue of that in most cases. They're still buying in to a fake, false system that says as long as we can keep kids feeling really good by helping them avoid negative, painful experiences, then they will be successful. That's a lie. That is a lie. Kids get some of the best things that they can in life when they have something that they cannot conquer over and over and over, and they figure out how to beat it. And doing anything else but allowing them to experience those failures is robbing them of the very thing that they need not only to be successful, but to grow up and be actual adults. Don't take a zero away from a kid. The only thing that you need to be worried about banning when it comes to a zero is banning teachers from giving out zeros solely to be hurtful or mean or manipulative. If a teacher acknowledges that, I want this kid to be successful, I want this kid to grow, I want this kid to go far, and I cannot do it by not giving him a zero. You got a teacher that looks at that zero failing grade and says, man, I need them to figure this out. That is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. Not snarky, not mean, not angry, not suppressive, not being, you know, a jerk about it or a turd, not slapping it on there and just communing your sneering disgust, but looking at it for what it is. It's an opportunity to talk to him about how can we make sure this doesn't happen again. I'm sorry, sweetie. You got a zero on this. And as much as I wish you didn't, you got a zero. But let's talk about how can we fix this. We can fix this for next time. I agree with the author here. Not giving him or her a zero accomplishes one thing. It teaches them that there are no consequences, or at least not ones they have to worry about. All right, guys, let's wrap it up on the last article for today. Now, again, I kind of prefaced this at the start today. We're going to talk about an article that was written over at C-T-H-E-B-E-A-N, like cthebean.wordpress.com. And it's an article about some collections of what kids are saying about how spanking feels to them. Now, I want to make sure that I'm very clear here. This is going to be really hard to present today in a way that doesn't leave some of the yay-sayers to spanking going, oh, well, of course a kid's going to say that. It hurts. They didn't like that. And they had a consequence. And blah, 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 blah. That's not what we're focusing on today. I get it. If you apply violence to a child's butt, they hate it and they want to do the right thing because they're scared of you and they're scared of getting their butt whooped. Okay, I get it. Yes, that works. Okay? I'm not saying that doesn't work. I'm getting real tired of the people that keep saying, yeah, but Trey, it worked for me and I turned out just fine and blah, blah, blah. I get it. Spanking works. We never want to question that here at the Family Podcast Network. What we've questioned is, number one, is it the best thing for us? Number two, you keep saying that your kids obeyed or you obeyed your parents because they spanked you. My question is, was there something else that caused it? Because I have met tons of kids that have gotten their butt whooped that never did what their parents said because they had no relationship with them soever. However, a lot of the parents that say that it worked, they also would tell me they had a great relationship with their kid, and I would argue to you, did you obey because you had a great relationship with your grade because they spanked you? So we're not arguing whether or not it works. We're arguing whether or not it's the best. However, I want to talk about a little article that they did that was very well done. And they talk about what do kids say that spanking feels like. So they ask kids some questions, and I'm going to read these answers that these kids had to you. They said, who usually spanks children? 1 6-year-old Good said, listen to this, first words out of her mouth. Well, I think mostly family and sometimes friends who get cross. People like your mom and your dad and your grandma and your granddad and friends that live near to you on the same street. Who usually hits people first? I mean, so fascinating. First thing that pops in their mind is kids, as parents. Now, I know some of you guys are going to be like, well, no duh, Trey. I mean, of course it's going to be parents. But, I mean, does that not break your heart that the first person that comes to their mind when asked about who smacks them is their parents? They also went on to say, sometimes it's your uncles and your aunties, and sometimes it's your mom or dad where they can smack you really hard, or they can smack you with a cane. Listen to this one little 5-year-old boy's response when asked who smacks kids. Thieves and kidnappers, moms and dads, and nasty men. I mean, some of this is kind of funny. But I thought that was kind of sobering, all in the same sense. Who is the person to most likely hit you as a kid? Mom and dad. I mean, if that doesn't settle something in your stomach, I mean, dang, I don't know what would. Another question is where do children usually get hit and smacked? One little 6-year-old boy responded that children get smacked in a corner because the parents wouldn't want to do it so that everyone could see, because then the children might call someone else and they might come and take the children so they'll go to his corner and smack. I mean, this little 6-year-old boy put it together that it is not socially acceptable to smack or spank your children in front of other people, so they're going to do it in a corner because basically what they're saying is Child Protective Services might get called. Listen to this. At home or normally where nobody else is. A 7-year-old boy said that. If there were thousands of people looking, then the mom, as well as the child, will get very embarrassed, and it would probably be a bit rude to do it in front of everybody. 7-year-old boy said that. Where do kids get spanked? On my bum, on my face, on my head, on my arm, on my belly, and on my legs. The 5-year-old girl. Belly, legs, arm, face. Interesting. I think children usually get smacked on the side of their face or on their tummy. Sometimes it depends on how bad they were. If they were really naughty, it would be on their bottom, but sometimes it's usually on their hands. 7-year-old boy. They hit you on your head where they're not supposed to hit you. 7-year-old boy said that. Why am I bringing this up? Trey, some of this isn't spanking. Why are you bringing this up? Because when you ask a little kid to say, hey, where do you get smacked? They lump both the face and the butt in the same place in their minds. I don't know. This makes you think about it. Another question was, what does it feel like to be smacked? It hurts, and listen to this. It's a 7-year-old girl. It's hurt. It hurts and it's painful inside. 7-year-old girl said, you feel like you don't like your parents anymore. Another 7-year-old girl said, it feels like sort of like you want to run away because it's sort of like they're being mean to you and it hurts a lot. 6-year-old boy said, when you get smacked, sometimes we get angry because sometimes my mom smacks me when she gets angry. 7-year-old girl said, it feels like they shouldn't have done that. It hurts. It feels embarrassed. It feels like you're really sorry, and it hurts. 7-year-old girl said, I think that probably it makes you feel ashamed inside. Why am I bringing this up? I mean, I can hear the parents out there going, well, of course it's going to make them embarrassed. Of course they're not going to like it. Of course they're going to feel embarrassed. And of course they're going to feel like they've done something wrong. Trey, they did something wrong. That's why they're getting it. Then I want you to ask yourself, how would you feel if your boss saw you mess up and spanked you? Well, Trey, that wouldn't happen. We just don't do that to adults. God dang it, why not? Why would you not do that to an adult? Because we acknowledge on the most fundamental of levels that spanking another adult is inappropriate and unacceptable, and yet we do it to our kids as though it's not. Wow, I did not mean to get this fired up, guys. You see, we have standards for our children that we would never hold for another flippin' adult ever. Why is that? Well, Trey, we're just trying to raise them in the way it goes and the way they should go, and we know it works. Woohoo! Here we go again! Let's run down the it works line of thinking, because we know that'll always back us up. We know that crap works! Does something work better? Are you telling me that we have all of these people sitting out in the workforce nowadays today that somehow have just amazingly managed to break this cycle of not needing to get spanked to get corrected and disciplined at work? No! We found better ways to do it. And we can do that with our kids as well. If we just get off our lazy, frickin' parent butts and think, guys, I fall back to lazy too. I fall back to that point where I just wish I could bend them over and take the paddle and pop their butts to get them to stop something. I wish that I could sometimes just drop that threat of force on them through a spank and make them terrified in compliance. I want that sometimes too. It is lazy. And it is never something that we would consider acceptable for an adult. Now, listening to the overwhelming insight some of these kiddos have, they're asked, how do children act after they've been smacked? You get all of the traditional stuff. You know, they cry, they're upset. Listen to this. Some of them, if they're really naughty, they do the same mistake again. And if they're good, they learn from the mistake. You see the insight of this little six-year-old boy? He acknowledges that some of them, it further pushes them into the thing we say we do not want from them. Some of them get better. Some of them comply. Some of them learn that if I can just do exactly what I say in fear of my parents and the retaliation that they'll have on me, I can get better results. It works. But there's some of those kids that say, you know what? Screw you. That's why. And they do it again. And they do it again. And we invite the very opposite thing, what we want. 5-year-old girl said, what do kids do after they've been spanked? They act naughty and they start to hurt people. And they're very angry. And the adult thinks that they can do as he wants. Man. And don't get me wrong. Some of these answers are, you know, they try to do the right thing from that point on. And that little girl said they get angry and grumpy and upset with their moms and dads. That little 7-year-old girl, right at the very end of the interview, listen to this response. At the very end of the interview, they're about to wrap it up. She said, I've thought of another answer. If they're very little, they might think that it's right to go off and smack somebody else. But let me tell you, it gets better. They asked kids, why don't children smack adults? Because if they smack adults, the adults smack them back and it hurts. Because adults are bigger and adults can smack harder than children. That little boy said, that's simple. Because it's very rude to smack your parents because they're bigger and older and they might hurt you back. And they might be silly when they're drunk and they might hit you. 7-year-old girl said, adults are bigger and stronger and people treat them more seriously. Let's do that again. 7-year-old girl, adults are bigger and stronger and other people treat them more seriously. Out of the mouth of babes, does stuff like this come? They then asked, why don't adults smack each other? 1 7-year-old girl said, grown-ups grow out of the habit, and if they still have the habit, they don't smack each other. Instead, they smack kids. 5-year-old girl said, because they must respect each other, because if they smacked each other, they wouldn't like each other. Whenever you get big, do you think you will smack children? Listen to this. I would smack children when I'm the age of 20 or an adult, because if I'm a parent, you have to smack children. And then the cycle propagates. You have to, says this little kiddo. There's several more questions in this article, guys, that y'all can go read where they asked them, and the answers are just absolutely dumbfoundingly insightful in most cases. And I'm not going to read them all today. We're getting close to 45 minutes. It's time to wrap the show up for today, but I'll include a link to this in the show notes. Go check it out. Go read these questions. They're fantastic. If some of those sounded interesting, this was a survey that was actually done in the EU summit meeting. It was presented at the EU summit meeting, but it was done in Europe. So, you know, there's obviously some language differences. Yes, I did change a little bit of those into American language. when we read that. But go read those anyway. Nonetheless, they're really good and very enjoyable. Go check those out, and I think you'll enjoy them. All right, guys. That is all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Man, guys, don't forget to come check us out this Wednesday. We are going to have a fantastic topic that we're going to throw out that deals with and acknowledges the fact that there is something more important than all things that we talk about when it comes to kids, and that's our ability to connect with them emotionally and mentally. And we're going to talk a little bit about this Wednesday and how that is some of the most important things we can do. You definitely have got to come check this episode out on Wednesday. It's going to be fantastic. Also, don't forget, this Friday we're going to have another episode of the Real Family Guys podcast as well. Jeff is going to be going out of town on Thursday, so we're actually going to be recording that early, but we will get that knocked out for you guys. Have a great day and a great week. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.